Welcome to Flawed and Free Podcast. This is the place where we save souls and set the captives free from spiritual bondage in deliverance and spiritual warfare. My name is Apostle Tina, and our mission is to help you win the warfare in your life by equipping you to sever spiritual strongholds, break generational curses, and find freedom from your now to your next. Join our community of freedom fighters through transparency to transformation in Christ Jesus. Make sure you go now, like, subscribe, and share. God bless.
Hey, y'all. Hey. We still here. Glory be to God. God is doing a mighty work in this place. He is doing a great, great, great work in this place. We're continuing our series today. We've been on a spiritual warfare series, a weapons series, 30 spiritual warfare weapons to help you to defeat witchcraft attacks. Started around Halloween, and we're going to continue this until we're done. So today we are going to start on weapon 16. If you have not had an opportunity to listen, watch, or know about the first 15 we covered, they're on YouTube. They're on our playlist on YouTube, so you can go back and catch up on the other weapons. But today, we're going to pick up on 16. We've been having a good time. I have been enjoying this teaching to equip the body. I know when I came into this side of saved, I was unchurched. And so that being said, I didn't know much about church protocols and what to do, where to go, where to stand. Still don't to this day with some of the things that I've seen. We are called to dispel and to debunk the spirit of religion. So here we're focused on relationship over religion. That's our focus here. We just want to teach and train and equip and really show people how to have a real relationship with Christ. Not none of that lukewarm, halfway in, halfway out, but really show people how to mature, how to grow, and how to get closer to God. And so that's one of our main focuses. I tell people all the time, this is not church as usual. It's not. We yield to the presence of the Holy Spirit very heavily. Very heavily. Praise and worship is a big deal. It should always be. As we usher in the presence of God, the worship is for Him. Sometimes we come to church looking for something just for us, but we're really here to serve Him, our Heavenly Father. And so the worship opens the door. It opens a portal for God to pour out. Not just a blessing, but a breakthrough as well. And we got to prepare to receive. We got to prepare to receive. And so we got to lift up His name, for His name is high, holy, and lifted up. And He is worthy of all the praise. We thank God for the breath in our bodies to even be able to sing, to be able to speak. Someone didn't have that privilege today. Someone really, truly, honestly did not have that privilege. They took their last breath last night or sometime, and they're not able to praise and lift up the name of the Lord as we are. And so our bodies, our minds, and all that we are belong to God. We were created by Him for purpose. And that's why it's sad. It's sad to see that so many people struggle with identity and who they are and who they're created to be. The devil has tricked us into thinking that we are versions of ourselves that we really are not. And so over the course of time, it could be and feel very confusing. Like, why am I here? What am I here for? And what have I been put here to do? And so as destiny builders and destiny pushers, we want to partner with you, our community, those that are online, to help you get closer to who God has called and created you to be through real relationship. coming as you are, letting God meet you wherever you are. He met me. He came and got me, and he met me exactly where I was, and I just continued to give God a yes every day. I had no idea that I would be a minister, let alone a pastor, let alone an apostle. I never knew. I did not ask God anything about who I was or what I was supposed to do or be. And now I'm in that place, and now I'm being obedient to God, and it's the best thing that I could have ever done. I wish I would have identified my purpose sooner. I would have been more obedient. So when I see a lot of the young women and men that are partnered with this ministry in their 20s and things like that, I was outside of my 20s. I was still at the club, and I was making moves. I was not in nobody's church. Nobody's church. So even to see me today, people see me now not knowing where I came from. And so I'm one of those real transparent, raw, and real ministers who, you know, we speaking in tongues. I wasn't always speaking in tongues. I was raised in a church where we went to church. I didn't know we were the church. I didn't know. So I thought we acted a certain way in church. I thought you caught the Holy Ghost. I thought that's what I thought. And so I would see people bucking and shouting, and it's really a demonic manifestation. But you don't catch the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is in you. He's indwelling. He walks with you. So you don't catch him. But nonetheless, I remember my pastor didn't believe in praying in tongues. And so when I would hear people pray in tongues, I was like, they doing something wrong. That ain't right. And so I find out now that's not true, right? That, yes, you do. I remember asking for God to fill me. I remember asking. I heard, it's like, if this is real, and I was like a real, real Christian then. I was a real Christian, but I didn't have the gift. And so I asked. And I was like, well, if they got it, I want it too. And for some reason, the biggest misconception about people that are able or receive the gift of praying in tongues was that they were closer to God because they had the gift. I used to think that. They pray in tongues. They real close to God. Not true. I know a lot of tongue-talking demons. Talking in tongues and do not carry the character of Christ. It's sad, but it's true. So, one of my favorite things is the infilling of the Holy Ghost. The baptism by fire with the evidence of speaking in tongues. It really changed my life. I don't know about the rest of you in here that are filled, but it accelerated my walk with God. It accelerated my walk. So people say, well, I don't know if I need it or if it's something that I should have or even ask for. I'm like, oh, please. My life changed. My life changed. I remember when I was new in the gift. I remember being in church, feeling that bubbling coming up like I wanted. But I didn't understand. It was weird because I was like, I don't know what I'm getting ready to say. Because my mind wanted to control what I was about to say. Not knowing that your mind has nothing to do with tongues at all. Your mind has nothing. I could literally write my whole grocery list speaking in tongues. And my mind is like spaghetti. I can hear spaghetti. I can hear, right, noodle. But and I can pray in tongues. It's a whole separate, you don't need your mind to speak in tongues. This isn't a language you learned. This was a language that you have access to. It's your heavenly language, but because we're spirit beings in a body, we're actually spirits. We're just housed in a body. We were spirits first. And so it's a language from our native place, which is in the spirit. You were birthed in the spirit. You were born in the spirit. That's why you become born again. That's what that means, right? You have to become, because what happens is with the fall of Adam, we were born in iniquity. We were born in sin. So we were separated from God because sin separates us from God. So that's why. So when you're born again, now you're rebaptized back in the spirit, right? Now you can partner with the things of the spirit. Now your spirit can receive information by the spirit. That's why it's something that you don't know, but we're speaking mysteries to God. We're speaking, right? We're speaking things and God is partnering. It's the perfect prayer. right? It's a prayer language. It's a prayer that we, how we communicate with God. And there's so much to say concerning tongues, but I know most churches do not tolerate that. People get put out for it, rebuked for it, because they don't understand and they have not rightly divided the word with the tongues, because there's different types of tongues. There's two different types. There's your prayer language, what we were doing, right? And then there's the prophesy, there's the edification of the body of the church, and there's diverse tongues. And so people don't know how to rightly divide which is which. And so they're like, oh, you're doing this, but we're not prophesying. If I was prophesying to the church, that would need interpretation, and we do that as well. We move in all the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are for today and tomorrow and the next day. And so when we develop relationship with God, we get access to the kingdom of God and everything that's in the kingdom of heaven. It actually becomes ours. It is ours through our righteous royal inheritance through Romans 8. There's a spirit of adoption. God has given us and made us royal co-heirs and joint heirs to the kingdom. And so people don't understand the heaven on earth concept. The Bible says, thy kingdom come, that come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so whatever is righteous and lawful in heaven is righteous and lawful in the earth. Whatever is illegal in heaven is illegal in the earth. And so people think they have to die to go to heaven and see God. When I see God every day, I talk to God every day. Just as God initially intended in the garden, when God met with Adam in the cool of the day, there was relationship, there was contact, there was communication, there was conversation. And so people find it strange when they say that you hear from God. God said this to me, God said that to me, God said that to me. And people get frustrated with that because it's like, well, you're spooky, right? But not knowing that we're supposed to be, if you're in a relationship with a man or a guy or a woman or a friend, don't you talk to them? Who has a friend that they don't talk to? Would you call them your friend? If they never call you, if they never talk to you, if they never commune with you and go to dinner or lunch, or would you consider that somebody that you have relationship with? Absolutely not. So why do we think that it's any different with God? It is because we have reduced God to a dead historical figure that is not alive and living and well today. And he is alive. He is living. He is well. He is moving. And he is manifesting himself wherever he is allowed. But because he's a spirit, God moves by spirit. He has to have permission through us in agreement, because spirits are illegal to move in the earth without a host, not just a body, because a demonic spirit can move and a godly spirit can move, but they need a host of some sort. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a person. It could be a dog. It could be a cat. It could be an item. It could be a chair. It could be anything. They just need something to house and to hold. But they love bodies and the people of God because we're the most precious to God. A lustful spirit don't want to sit in a chair. Why would a lustful spirit want to live in a chair? He would rather live through a body because he can perform his function. His function is to be lustful. And I can't feed that desire, that ungodly desire, without using you to do it. So God needs the same from us. He wants to manifest himself in the earth. We want to see people get delivered and healed. We don't want people stuck with anxious minds and depressed and trying to commit suicide and kill themselves and all of this and feeling unworthy and hopeless. And we are the most precious thing to God. And the devil knows that. And so he's like, I'm going to kill what's the most precious to you, your children. What you love the most. God don't really love the chair. He loves you. So the enemy would say, let me host me. Don't host him, host me. And people are struggling when they become born again. Whether you're praying in tongues or not, they're struggling because the enemy's fighting for your destiny. Because he doesn't want you to make it to the other side. He knows his time in the earth is temporary, for a set and appointed time. When the tribulation time comes, and this ain't even my message, but when the tribulation time comes and the light is pulled out of the world in Revelations, the followers of Christ, because even demons believe. So watch that. Somebody that's calling themselves a Christian, but they don't have the fruit of that. They don't look, their lives aren't aligning and things like that. Be careful. But true followers of Christ will be raptured into heaven, and all of the light in the earth will be taken out. So church, all of this that's helping to keep this little wicked world together will no longer be. And everybody that's remaining will be stuck with the wickedness of the world. It's wicked now. You ain't got to go far to see somebody getting robbed, stabbed, killed, murdered, stuffed in closets, kids being sexually trafficked, things like that. All sorts of crazy stuff happening. Rapes, molestations, also ancestral situations. All sorts of things. People are being victimized. People are being abused. People are getting beat up. People are getting all sorts of things. Natural disasters. The Lord said in the end times there would be rumors of war. There would be all sorts of things happening. So in the book of Revelations, when the rapture comes and we leave this place, a very tumultuous time is coming. The Antichrist is rising up. The tribulation time is coming. Ain't nothing but darkness. Nothing but darkness. There's four angels that are bound in the Euphrates River. We already see now the signs of the returning of Christ because the Euphrates River is drying up. The Euphrates River is drying up, and there are angels that are bound. They're going to kill a third of the people in the earth. They're going to be released from their chains, and just like the plagues of Egypt will be released, the locusts are going to attack, all sorts of things, the mark of the beast. It's going to be hard to be a follower of Christ, to convert in this time. Because everything is wicked. Ain't nothing good. Now is the time. Now is the time. Now is the time. So we think we got all the time in the world. We don't. Time is running short. So as followers of Christ, we have to begin to prepare. Get our oil ready for the bridegroom to come back for his bride. If God comes back tomorrow, will you be ready? Will you go to heaven or hell? This isn't just about getting saved and getting a ticket to heaven. There's an assignment and there's something that you are called here to do, and the enemy is fighting it tooth and nail every single day to keep you from getting and crossing over to the other, to keep you from moving in happiness, joy, peace, and love, keeping you from having healthy relationships, keeping you, trying to wear you out and fatigue you, trying to put you in evil cycles and patterns so that you will give up on who you are actually called to be, and you'll lay down and say, it's better if I just die. It's just better if I don't do this. But no matter what, the Spirit of God will draw you. And you're going to either move in the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the things of God, or you will move in a demonic spirit for the kingdom of darkness. There's only two choices. And so God has equipped us with his Bible. God has equipped us with gifts. God has equipped us so that we can be successful in this day and age that we live in. But a lot of Christians are not being successful because they don't know how to use these weapons I'm talking about in this series. People don't know their identity. People don't know their authority. People don't know. And so he's positioned apostolic places and people and those that are truth tellers, those that are literally living pure, holy, and righteous lives before God. And we're not popular. We are the remnant believer. This isn't the road is wide to destruction. The narrow road are those that are similar to those like us that are like, no, we believe in the whole Bible, not just the parts we want to believe in, pick and choose and cherry pick and move in and out of, the parts that are convenient to us. We believe in the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelations. And so the enemy would try to discredit, accuse, and say, oh, that's a cult. You see all those women in that church? You see how small it is? Where's her husband? That's not God. To deceive you, to go and be in a place or be surrounded in a place that God did not call us to. Did this die on me? I think it did. So sometimes this looks like when you don't know better, what they would call strange fire. And the strange fire looks like it's the real thing. Because we're deceived, we don't have discernment. We don't have relationship that can help us rightly divide the spirit of God and the spirit of the enemy. Oh, we cut back off again. I'll see if this one will hold me. So, weapons 16 through 20. Let's get through those today. The first one is wisdom. Weapon 16 is wisdom. Wisdom is heaven's intel. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. Without reproach, and it will be given him. So, wisdom isn't knowledge. Wisdom isn't information. Wisdom actually comes by the Spirit. And wisdom is heaven's intelligence system and operations. That's how we get our intel from the Spirit, by the wisdom of God, the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says in James 1 and 5 that if you lack wisdom, then you ask God. And that he gives that wisdom to you generously. Many of us are not moving in the wisdom of God because we're not asking. Because it says he'll give generously. Meaning, however much you need, you keep asking. God will give it to you. It says it will be given him, period. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom. For the Lord gives wisdom. For the Lord gives wisdom. That's ESV I'm reading out of. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So we know that the wisdom is coming from the Lord. If we are not connected to Christ, then we are not receiving the wisdom that we need to live and to move in the earth. Wisdom is not is not being book smart. So I know a lot of people that are smart people, but are dumb spiritually. I'm serious. That are intelligent and smart. So it does not transfer. It doesn't matter if you have a doctorate or this or that, whatever the case may be. And then you'll see somebody that moves very strongly in the Spirit of God, that seems to have the wisdom of God and appears to seem smarter than you, but they're not smarter than you. It's the wisdom of God that's speaking through them. I can't take credit. I have 4 degrees, but I didn't learn anything in the spirit in school. You can't learn tongues. And everybody in here that's filled knows that. There's no book, there's no school, there's no nothing. You can't get it if you want it by reading it or none of that. So there are things of the spirit you can only get by the spirit. So you cannot teach your way through a relationship with God. You can watch all the YouTube universities. You can get a whole book library about God and the things of God and the what of God and the why of God, and you will not be any closer to him. Hear me. Because you have the information. Because if you don't have the wisdom of God to translate the information into transformation, you have to partner in prayer and you have to open your heart to hear God and be obedient to God so that you can manifest himself in your life. So the book itself, the conference, the whatever, those things are adjunctive. Those things are in addition to. But you still have to take that information back to God because it's an interpretation. Even the information you're getting is an interpretation of someone else. So real revelation has to be interpreted by the Holy Spirit. That's why when you read the Bible, you don't understand it as a new believer. But then all of a sudden, as you begin to keep talking to God, asking God, talking to God, all of a sudden, it's like you read that scripture when you was 10, 15, 29, 39, however old you are. And all of a sudden, it's clear as day. What once was not clear is like, woo, right in your face. Like God says, if I lack wisdom, he gonna give it to me. Why? Okay, that's pretty clear. Right? Where before it was like, I don't understand a word that Bible is saying. I don't understand that. That's because you were trying to interpret through your understanding. You were trying to interpret something that's of the spirit that can only be revealed and received by the spirit. Your mind is limited. What you don't know, maybe some of you don't know, is your soul is separate from your spirit. So your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions separate. So it don't matter how many degrees you get, you will never have the mind of God. You will never be able to interpret anything concerning spiritual things. Unless you interpret it by the Spirit. Because the Spirit recognizes the Spirit. The Bible says, test by the Spirit to know if it's from God. Right? So that you know that it's from God. But the only way you're going to know is the Spirit of discernment. The Spirit of discernment is going to say, that don't sound like God. Or no, that does sound like God. The only way you're going to know if it's God or not God is through relationship. So, Sierra, if Sierra calls my house tonight and says, hey, Apostle, how you doing? This is Janelle. I'm going to be listening on the other line like the devil is a lie. Janelle don't sound like that. My daughter can't call me and be like, this is Xavier. Hey, how you doing? And carry a whole conversation with me as if she's Xavier. How do I know that the person on the phone talking to me is not Xavier and it's Lanaya? Because we have relationship. I talk to her. I know her voice. The Bible said, know my voice, and they will not follow the voice of a stranger. My sheep know me. Am I making sense? The Bible don't contradict itself. If you put the pieces together, you'll be mad at your own self. Because you'll be like, well, doggone it. I had a key to the door I was trying to unlock in my life right in my hand. I done went everywhere. My mama, my grandma. To try to get to know who God was through somebody else. Instead of coming to him myself and just asking. Instead of just opening the Bible myself and saying, God, reveal yourself. So wisdom is not something that you can acquire through book smarts. Wisdom is battle smart. We're talking about how to defeat and dethrone principalities and powers that are so ancient and old. They got strategies upon strategies that have killed your whole bloodline and that have cursed your family generationally. And you see the pattern in your family playing out in your life. Your mama struggled, your grandma struggled, your great-grand, everybody got the same struggle. Chronic singlehood, divorce, drug abuse, perversion, half the family gay, everybody getting high, everybody smoking weed. This is normal. Why? Because there's generational curses that it just continue. And then all of a sudden, you're trying to figure out why you're struggling. Because you were born into a curse that can be broken. But you don't know your power and your authority. Because they make it look like the church has made us look weak. When we really have power. But we don't know our power. So we don't move in power. Because we think we got to pray and, oh God, please. We got to beg. We got to plead. Oh Lord, please. Oh Lord, please. Oh Lord, please. When all you have to do is command, speak to a thing. And it shall be so. It's in your Bible, but we ain't read it. We ain't opened the Bible to see what is God saying about my situation. So the devil will use deception when God gives you discernment. When you walk in wisdom, you'll stop wasting energy fighting distractions that were never your assignment. Never your assignment. You over here doing something you think is for God, but it ain't even your assignment. You didn't even ask God. You didn't even get the wisdom to strategize and move in a thing that he ain't even called you to. Wisdom will tell you which battles are yours and which belong to the Lord. But pride will keep you from moving in wisdom because pride will make you think, I know it all. I got this. I don't need no help. You can't tell me nothing. I don't want to hear what you got to say. I don't want to. That's the devil. Lucifer himself. The king of pride. Leviathan. That makes you think you don't need the wisdom of God. Don't ask God. Some of y'all don't ask God because you already know the answer. Be honest. You didn't ask God about that man you was dating because you knew the answer. That didn't even take wisdom or common sense. But because you decided, I ain't going to ask. I'm just going to wait on God to show me a sign if I shouldn't go this way. But I'm going to keep going until he stopped me. I'm going to get as close to the line as I can without crossing over it. Deception. Deception. You're going to trip yourself up every time. Stop asking God to bless what he never told you to build. Ask for wisdom first. Stop coming up with all this stuff and then you want God to breathe on it. You can have an idea. God gives you the ability to dream, to think, and all of those things. But you still ask for the wisdom of God, for the plan, as you petition and as you build. You don't build first and then go back to God and be like, okay, God bless this. That's out of order. You ask God first, then you begin to build as he leads you. It'll save you spiritual bruises later when you got to shut that business down. Because God said, I did not tell you. Sound like a good idea, and it would have been a good idea, but I actually had something else. And I can't breathe on that because that's not me. I wasn't in that. You ain't talk to me about that. So I can't help you now that you flailing, crying. I can't help you because you didn't come talk to me. You will save yourself a lot of spiritual delay. Wisdom is when somebody provokes you and wisdom says in your ear, that's bait. That's not breakthrough. That's the wisdom of God. Oh, that look good. That sound good. It's too good to be true. Wisdom is the spiritual Wi-Fi without connection. It's spiritual Wi-Fi without connection. Weapon 17, fire. This whole day we've been fire, 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 fire. People are like, what does that mean? Why y'all keep talking about fire, fire, fire? There's a lot of reasons why. But this isn't just on fire today. So I'm going to give you a little bit. We'll talk some more about it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. Yeah, read that one. Hebrews 12, 29.
Hebrews 12, verse 29. For our God is a consuming fire.
I want you to say it like you believe it. When we are praying the word, we want to pray it very boldly with authority. That doesn't mean loud. But respect the word of God. It's weighty, it's real, and it carries access so many things. It moves mountains. So when you speak the word aloud, let's speak it bold and with authority. For our God is a consuming fire. Do it again. Go ahead. 12:29.
Hebrews 12, verse 29. For our God is a consuming fire.
Amen. Because he is. A consuming fire is serious. That means ain't nothing left. Not even ashes. We saw that with Elijah. There was no remains. When somebody dies and they decide to be cremated, there's a hot fire they put the body in. And there's ashes that remain. A consuming fire, there are no ashes. It's non-existent. There's no residue. There's no remains. There's no remnant. So when the Bible says, for our God is a consuming fire, that means ain't nothing of the old you left. Ain't there's nothing there. And until that's happened or is happening, you got to go back in the fire. We need to keep our altars lit by fire. Consuming means I have completely consumed. Read the definition of consumed. I don't have it here. Somebody pull it up real quick, because we got to move. Real quick. Consume. Consume. What does consume mean? Whoever gets it first can go. Go ahead. Jump up. Go ahead. You got it. That part. It said it could be used like fuel, did it not? And to be consumed, what? Completely. That means we got to be completely consumed by God so that he can become our fuel. That there's nothing of the enemy in you, on you, touching you, around you, nothing. When God consumes you with fire, that means ain't nothing but him showing up. You can't help but move in power because it's God. Ain't nothing left. So fire doesn't negotiate, it purges. God's fire burns away what can't stay. And it lights and ignites what must live. That's what the consuming fire of God does. So demons and witchcraft and every unclean thing fear the fire because it exposes them. It hurts. It consumes them. They can't touch it. How many times have we seen flames, fire, and the minute a serpent or something is consumed? So demonic agents and the kingdom of darkness fear fire. They fear fire because they know they can't stand against it. The devil cannot stand. So that's why you can't be cold or lukewarm. That's why you can't. You have to stay on fire for God. When you carry Holy Ghost fire, you don't run from the darkness. The darkness runs from you. That's how that works. So fire is passion. Fire is purity. Fire is power in motion. So you got to feed that fire through prayer and worship and the word of God. That's how you keep the fire lit in your life. Worship, the word, and prayer. Cold Christians cannot cast out hot devils. A lukewarm Christian cannot cast out a hot, fiery devil. You cannot be cold and think you're going to defeat the enemy. You have to be on fire. So for those that say that it don't take all that, they lied to you. It does take all that. You do need to be on fire. Because the devil ain't gonna bag back from nobody that's weak and cold. But I tell you one thing, he gonna bag back when it's a fire. You as a regular person, are you just walking in the flames? You see your house on fire, your kitchen on fire, something like that. Are you just like, yeah, let me put my hand in the fire? Looks like fun. gonna run from the fire. Ah, the stove's on fire. Kitchen's on fire. The house is on fire. Your instinct is to run, is it not? So what do you think the devil's doing when he get close to you? He see that fire, he be like, ah! So that's why we fire, 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 fire the Holy Ghost, fire the Holy Ghost. Because the devil can't do nothing with that. Father, burn up everything that is not like you in the name of Jesus. If you stay lit in the spirit, the enemy can't dim your destiny. You was lit when you was outside at the club. We getting lit. We lit. We lit up in this thing. It's lit up in this club. It's lit up in here. I was that girl. Woo! And was it not hot in the club? But you stayed though. Don't play yourself. But when you in the church, it's hot. I'm hungry. I'm tired. So hot in here. But in the club, baby, you was sweating to death, still, for hours. You come to church, if we pray too long, y'all be like, you got 30 more minutes, we out of here. You go to the club 2-3 hours and ain't even blinked. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. God forbid we have a night vigil or night prayer. That's too late. That's my bedtime. Suddenly you tired. When you didn't even leave your house till 10, 11 o'clock to go to the club. Because you was waiting on it to get lit. You know, you ain't want to be the first one there. So, when you stay lit in the spirit, the enemy can't dim your destiny. The Bible says that we are to carry the light. We are the light of the world. We're like a candle that cannot be hidden, a candlestick that cannot be hidden. That we are the light. That's why I was talking about Revelations. When the rapture comes and the light leaves this piece, it's a bad thing. When the light leaves, So when the light in your life is gone, that's why you're depressed. That's why you're bitter. That's why you're angry. That's why you're mad. That's why you're resentful. That's why you curse. That's why you're nasty. That's why you're rude, because there's no light. Your fire has gone out in Christ. And your destiny is being destroyed. And you look more like the kingdom of darkness than you look like Christ. You're not a light bearer, a glory carrier. You just got this little half-dim light, if you're lucky for it to be half-dimmed. And it ain't getting completely snuffed out by the devil. Cold Christianity. No power, no presence, no proximity. You only get power and presence and from God through proximity, meaning how close are you to God? How much of a relationship do you have? This ain't coming to church to check the box. This is me wanting to talk to God every day to hear about what how's your day, Lord? How you feeling today? This is relationship. This ain't about, is this the Sunday to wear white? Or is this the Sunday to wear purple? Is this the Sunday to wear black? Is this the time that we supposed to be sitting in the front, sitting to the side? Is this the time that we supposed to do this particular tradition, religion, rituals? And ain't nobody got relationship. And you sitting here with all of your fancy things. And just as broke as you was in your purple on third Sunday. You broke in purple on Fourth Sunday. Everybody looked like Barney, but everybody broke. Busted and disgusted. But they in they purple though. Why? Weapon 18. Rest. Sick of it. Sick of the science. I love the church. Don't get it wrong. Because the church is us. It's the body of believers. / followers. About the false temptation of what we call the church. That's not the true church. And you can call out heresy. You can call out what's fake and false. You can call out what is not God. Some people say, oh, she's talking about the church. No, I'm not. That ain't the church. I'm talking about the what was misrepresented as the church. Let's put apples with apples and oranges with oranges. I'm talking about the righteous real thing. Not the fakes, the frauds, and the facades. Called religion. There's no denomination in heaven. There's no Hebrew Israelites. Ain't no, oh, only the black and brown going to heaven. What? So what about the mixed person that's black and white? You going to cut them in half and send half of them to heaven? And let's just make it make sense. I'm finna cut you in half. This half of you is going to heaven and this half is going to hell. Like, y'all talking crazy. You are talking crazy. So the mixed folks, we just going to throw them all in the trash. They not going to heaven. Only black and brown people. God is black. I don't care if he was black, purple, with a stripe, pink stripe down the side. Baby, does it matter? Because when them gates open, I need them to open. He could be blue, yellow, green, and all the colors in the rainbow. Baby, let me in. I'm going to be like, oh, well, you know what? I got to the pearly gates, and Jesus is actually green. No, thank you. Make it make sense. Does it really matter if he's black, white, purple, yellow, blue, or all of the colors, because they all exist for a reason? He created the rainbow. It's a part of the covenant. I wouldn't be surprised if this part is purple, this part red, this part. I wouldn't be surprised. Why do we have Asians and Hispanics and blacks and browns? Because we're all God. God created it. You're going to take a whole ethnicity and background array and call it religion and preach this heresy. And people like, yeah, we're the chosen ones. What? What you talking about? It's just crazy. And people be like, hallelujah, yes. They be following. They got big followings. Occultic. Witchcraft. Rest. Weapon 18. R-E-S-T. Rest. Matthew 11, 28 through 29, I'm going to read it. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Your soul is your mind. Your soul is your emotions. You will find rest. So rest is your secret revenge. Rest is a weapon. Rest, and I don't mean sleep. There's a difference between sleep and rest. I don't mean when God says rest, oh, that means I need to add a couple hours to my nighttime routine. I need to sleep. That's the first thing when you tell somebody God is calling you to rest. Oh, I need to lay down. God said to rest. I need to lay down. I'll be like, Yes and no. Yes and no. That don't mean you go to sleep. That don't mean you slumber. And maybe sometimes he will call you to take a nap. Okay. But God's rest is peace. God's rest is trust. God's rest is his understanding. Sleep, you're going to wake up still chaotic and unpeaceful with them extra hours of sleep. You just sleeping. ain't nothing shaking. You get right back up mad. Rest is not laziness. Rest is not laziness. It's warfare through trust. That's what resting in God is. It's warring, and it don't matter if God, it's going to get that ice cream cone knowing that God still got me. It's going to end one way or another. And because I trust God, I believe in the expected end being victorious. So I'm going to get up every day, no matter what day I see the victory. Knowing that, I'm not going to lose no sleep over what day the victory's coming, over what day I'm going to get the money, over what day I'm going to get the man or the marriage, the house, the car, over what day. Because I'm so rested in God, I'm not worried that I didn't pray at 10:15 on the dot, that because I didn't pray at 10:15 that my prayers won't be answered. Lies. I'm resting in the fact that if I pray at 10:20, 10:30, it ain't going to change God's work and God's promise to me. See, religion will make you do that. Oh, I'm supposed to be, and I'm supposed to go, and I'm supposed to do. And because I didn't, now it's being taken from me. And if I do these things, then the expectation is that God's going to do it. And then when it doesn't happen, then you're mad. I prayed. I fasted. I read my word. I showed up. I did this for you, God. And you didn't come through. So now there's a measure of distrust that comes in. And you're no longer resting in God. Because I just told you that rest is warfare in trust. So the enemy will then fatigue you. Now you're tired. Now you're spiritually tired and even physically tired because the enemy thrives on exhaustion. I'm going to wear your mind out. I'm going to torment your mind. You're not going to get no rest at night. You might be the old saints used to say, I'm just resting my eyes. They'd be asleep, but they would say, I'm just resting my eyes. So, when you're resting in God, some of you are actually in the bed sleep and still exhausted when you wake up. So, we know that sleep don't help. Sleep is a form of death if you stay there too long, right? So, rest comes through resurrection, meaning you got to get up. That means you're not lazy. So spiritual laziness, that's a form of death. Spiritual laziness is like laying down, doing nothing, and you're dying. It's usually one of the first signs that you're living a very spiritually dead life. When you don't want to pray. When you don't want to do this, you don't want that. Spiritual laziness will take you out of here. Spiritual laziness will have you moving in apostasy. Spiritual laziness will have you running from God. Spiritual laziness will keep you from coming into your calling. Spiritual laziness. So no, you got to get up and pray. You don't want to pray, but you got to get up and pray. Because over time, guess what happens? You start getting lazier and lazier and lazier and lazier. Next thing you know, a week that went by, a month that went by. And you desire the things of God less and less and less. Less and less and less. So that's why you got to stay. When your flesh say no, you got to say yes. That's why you got to put it on a calendar, set a clock, and sit there for 5 minutes, maybe start praying, and then all of a sudden the spirit take over. Now you awake. Now you marching around the room. Now you're pacing because the spirit then kicked in. Tired saints make bad decisions. So the enemy thrives on the exhaustion. So I'm going to wear you out in your mind, in your dreams, at night, and have you obsessing over things that God has already taken care of to exhaust you. Because one thing he knows is when you get tired, you're going to make some bad decisions. Because you're just tired. You're just tired. Rest says, God's got it, let me nap. God's got it, let me sit still. God's got it, let me watch this little show real quick. Witchcraft drains, but worship restores. So you under witchcraft attacks and spells, and you're tired of the witchcraft, but that is the whole point. You have to learn how to find rest in God in the midst of the attacks. When you rest in God, you're making a faith statement. The faith statement is this: I'm off duty. Heaven's still working. That's the statement that you're making in the kingdom of God. I'm off duty. She, meaning me, is off duty. But heaven is still working on my behalf. You better go fix the little ham and cheese sandwich. You better. What? I just can't rest until I get this money by tomorrow. I need the money by tomorrow. I need the money by tomorrow. I can't rest till it come. Till God give me the plan. What is the plan, God? Help me. Go to sleep. Go for a walk. Because heaven is still working. Daniel waited 21 days and the fight was still on. But the prayer was already answered. But you're doing a Daniel fast. But you don't believe. Don't you feel stupid, right? Like, don't you? Like, I'm doing a Daniel fast. I'm over here toiling in the spirit. Daniel, I'm sure he was praying and all the things, but his prayer was already answered. God was just like, let me help you out. Let me just let you know we're still working out here. Let me send this angel, let you know we're still working. Take heart. We're still fighting in this peace. But he was on the Daniel fast. So you mad because after 3 days, your prayer ain't been answered. Or the 21 days that's getting ready to come up for most of the churches in the world. And you went into the fast for them 21 days because Daniel fasted and his prayer was answered. But you forgot that there was a war going on. And we don't know what day it was answered. We don't know if it was day 41, 45, 50, 59, 20, 29, 70, 79, 80. We don't know. But you think because your church doing the Daniel fast from the 1st to the 21st, that on the 22nd day, my breakthrough coming. And the breakthrough actually came. Because Daniel's prayer was answered before he prayed. But you mad at God, you ain't fasting no more the rest of the year. I ain't fasting no more. Because God didn't answer my prayer. Huh? Who is you? It's coming. Just wait. You cannot pour from an empty vessel. You just can't. So sleep if you need to take a nap. Laugh if you need to laugh. I like to laugh. Unplug. Take a Sabbath. You are not spiritual because you're stressed. That don't make you more spiritual. You're strategic when you're rested. I shut down now. Disappear, silence. I ain't got nothing to say. Just gonna sit for a minute. Just gonna sit. I need strategy. I need to hear. And sometimes I just need to be and not be pouring and talking. I just need to just be. Just be. So me doing does not make that a good strategy for me to make decisions. And I have to make a lot of decisions rather quickly as the leader and the head of a ministry. So I can't always be at the bar mitzvahs and the parties. I can't. Sometimes I gotta take that moment to just be and separate. Because while the enemy is plotting, you should be snoring in peace like Jesus on the boat. The storms were raging, and Jesus was asleep. That should be you. The storm was raging, but Jesus was asleep. That's not weakness. That's winning quietly. That's not weakness. It's not weakness. It becomes your witness. Rest is the rebellion against the religion of hustle. That's what rest becomes. Right? No more hustling, bustling, booked and busy. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. We're now going to go into weapon 19. Repentance and forgiveness is a weapon. 1 John 1 and 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins from all unrighteousness. So repentance and forgiveness is the reset button. You must use it. You must use it. You must use it. You must use it. You ain't getting nothing moving, nothing shaking, nothing without these two things. I put them together because I feel like they kind of go hand in hand. And sometimes people think one is the same and not the same, but they're not the same. Repentance and forgiveness are not the same. You can forgive a person but not be repented. Repenting meaning turning away, but they both go hand in hand. It's like peanut butter and jelly. So forgiveness and repentance. Repentance is a strategy. It's how you exit the enemy's territory legally. The enemy is legalistic. So you can pray and fast from now to tomorrow to kingdom come. But without true forgiveness and repentance, the enemy will still have legal rights to do what he needs to do against your life. So until you deal with this, it 9 times out of 10 is going to become your exit strategy out of the warfare or whatever you're dealing with. It's going to become, because if you don't do it, he keeps his legal rights. Because every unconfessed sin, it opens a door. But repentance will shut that door. We just talked about open doors and closed doors on Friday. So repentance will close the door to the access that Satan has to your life. Forgiveness is the twin weapon. So remember I said repentance and forgiveness are not the same. So forgiveness is the twin weapon to repentance. Unforgiveness is what anchors you to the offense. The offense is what keeps you bound. So unforgiveness will anchor you to that, and it will give demons visitation rights, like your kids, like when you get divorced. Yeah, that's what unforgiveness does. So when you forgive, You evict resentment. You evict bitterness. And you invite freedom. It's not about talking to the person, being their friend, and having fellowship again. That may not ever happen again. That does not mean you reconcile, but it means that you can now be restored. And now you can move in freedom. Daily repentance. Every believer should be repentant. If you are in your prayer closet, I'm getting ready to share this with you, because I'm transparent. It was so, after so long in my walk with God, I didn't do anything, and I compared my new life to my old life, and I started to get a little pious, like a little arrogant in the walk, unknowingly. And I would be like, I've done nothing but fast and pray the last 3 days. I ain't left the house. I haven't watched no TV. I don't curse anymore. I'm not fornicating. I haven't done anything. There's nothing for me to repent of. And I would sit on the edge of my bed like, why should I repent today? I haven't done anything. And I would always look at repentance that way. Until I really started to study repentance and learn repentance. And learn that even the thought in your mind, you gotta pray. Something as simple as, I'm not good enough. It's the simple things. It don't mean that you're out here trying to kill somebody and need to be forgiven. It's the little acts of disobedience. It's the little thoughts in your mind. It's the things happening in your family. There is every day you should have something to repent for. Every day. This is not about you. And even if the only thing you can think about is your family and you repent on their behalf. But every day you should be repenting. When someone pops in your head that you feel some type of way about, release them. Release them. Because God's probably revealing something that's hidden, that's deep. And then it comes to the surface. And you like, I don't want to deal with that. Just instantly release it. Instantly, boom, chains falls. Chains fall. The atmosphere clears, shifts. And if it comes up again the next week, do it again. Do it again. Because the enemy's trying to find a new door of offense. And you're like, why does this keep coming to my brain? I forgave them already. But did you? Or the enemy is trying to reignite the offense. Because you did. But he wants you to believe you didn't. So you got to keep standing on the word. And you got to keep releasing and agreeing with what God is saying. No, I forgave them. Lord, if there's any remnant, this is what I say. If there's any remnant or residue of offense or anything that's hidden, anything that I'm ignorant or unaware of, I bring that to you, even unknowing. Even not knowing where it is or where the root is. I give that to you too. I give that to you today. And you might not mentally know. But it's in your heart somewhere. Or the Lord is revealing it for a reason. So break the chains. Repentance breaks the curse. Forgiveness breaks the cycle. I told you those are two different things. They work together. They're like peanut butter and jelly. They're twins. Repentance and forgiveness. So repentance will break the curse. You want the curse broken. Repentance is I'm turning away. I'm not going back. I'm not doing the same old thing over and over and over and over and over, right? Like I'm truly repentant. Not that I'm saying I repent, where people will say and do something they really wanted to do. And then when they get caught or get in trouble, they come back and be like, well, I repent. No, you didn't. Because you still are doing the same thing over and over and over. The cycle continues. That's not repentance. So repentance, so the curse continues. And everything in your life continues because you haven't fully repented. But when you forgive, it actually breaks the cycle. You need both. You need the cycle to break and you need the curse to stop. Weapon 20. Last one. Y'all ain't too tired. Y'all gonna make it through the last one? Okay, okay. Y'all ain't asleep. I ain't boring you, am I? My guess. My family. Y'all aren't guests. Y'all are family. Faith. Faith is the last weapon of the day. Last but not least. We talked about hope last week, one of the weapons, and how faith and hope work together. And so faith is the force field of favor. I love that. Hebrews 11, chapter 1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Remember we talked about hope? Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That's ESV version. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Amazing. I like that ESV version. Because there are fiery darts and arrows coming every day by the kingdom of darkness. Every day. So God says in all circumstances, that means every single one, you take up the shield of faith. And that shield extinguishes those fiery darts and arrows that are coming for your life every day. You need faith. You have to have it. You cannot let it fall to the ground. You have to pray for more of it. Every fiery dart of fear, every fiery dart of doubt, every fiery accusation, slander, lies, they are quenched when faith is up. Faith is heaven's yes echoing in your spirit before the earth even catches up. That's what faith does for you. Witchcraft will shoot lies. Witchcraft will shoot deception and slander, defamation, accusation. But your belief is a weapon that will change your reality. You got to speak what you believe until you see it. You got to press and pray until you see what you say. You got to move in faith and know that God is working on your behalf even when you can't move. That faith doesn't wait for the proof. That faith, you don't have to wait, but it creates the proof. That's what faith does. It creates the evidence. Faith is the evidence of things what? Hope for. But the substance of things to come, the things that you want to see, faith will be the catalyst and it will be the partner in which you're able to see the proof. The proof is this building. How many years ago? And we kept saying in our prayers and in our times together in ministry, when the church come, when the church come, when the church come, when the church come, and the Lord said, and the Lord said, and the church, and the church, and the church, and the church, did we not? And the Lord is saying this about the church. And the Lord is saying that about the church. And the Lord is saying these are the people we're going to serve. And the Lord, and the Lord, and the Lord, and the Lord. When the church, when the church, when the church, when the church. The minute we heard that word from God, we was like, all right, here we are. This was years ago. Now here's the proof. We were already the church. But when God spoke to us about the building, it seemed impossible. Did it not? Y'all, some of y'all been walking with me a long time. It seemed impossible. But with God, all things are possible. This is the proof. When the doctor says it looks bad, when he say, it don't look like this is going, you ain't going to be able to get free from this. You're going to have this for the rest of your life. Good thing is we don't walk by sight. Because that ain't what God said. And we got to stand on that until we see the evidence and the proof. Faith will turn the word of God from not just a place of revelation and understanding, but a place of transformation where you're not in the, you're not stuck in cycles and seasons of the past, that you're actually able to see the future. And you see it before you set your eyes and your hands on it. But you just know that it's coming. And your process with God is a transforming process. It's a transforming process that takes time. And you have to give yourself grace and be patient through it. Glory be to God. So today, Father, we just give you thanks. I want to close out and cover you in prayer as we release these weapons. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. Father, for this time together, we thank you that you have equipped us, Father, with even more weapons and understanding and revelation and insight for how we are to walk with you, how we are to defeat and dethrone and dispossess all power of the enemy. Father, we thank you for your presence and even the opportunity to have proximity with you. God, we thank you that you are all-knowing, that you are almighty, that you are all-powerful. That we don't have to just wait on you to show up, that you are with us already there. Father, that all we got to do is call upon your name, that we don't have to wait till tomorrow or till next week. We don't have to wait 3 to 5 business days. That, Father, we know that you are with us, and all that we ask, seek, think, say, imagine, all we got to do is say, yes, God, throw our hands up, say, manifest yourself, reveal yourself, show yourself to me. God, help us, oh God, to use the weapons that you have given us through prayer, through faith, through hope. Father, in Jesus' name, in fasting and meditation and meditating on your word. Father, let us hold your word deep in our hearts, God. Father, let us not just read, but be doers of your word, God. Father, we just thank you, God, that you have not left us in the midst of chaos and confusion, broke, busted, and disgusted, hurt, and harmed. That, Father, you are an ever-present help in times of trouble, oh God. Father, we just thank you, God, that you are our healer, Father, our deliverer, our helper, oh God, our redeemer, our restorer. Father God, that you are restoring all the things that the cankerworms and the locusts have eaten. You're restoring, Father God, the time. You're reviving us. Father God, that you're bringing us into a new place. Father, we thank you, God, that it is because of you that we can have all things that are in heaven, in the earth. Father, we thank you for the access, God. Father, we thank you for your power. Father, we thank you for the authority to speak, decree, and to declare a thing, to establish a thing, and it shall be so. Father, we thank you for who you are. Oh, we thank you. We give you glory this day because you are worthy of all the glory. You are worthy of all the praise. For without you, who would we be, God? Without you, how would we have made it, God? Without you, God, how would we still be breathing, living and alive on this earth when we wanted to unalive ourselves, when we thought that there was nothing left? You came and you spoke a word to us in the midnight hour and you said, I want you. You said, I love you. You said, don't listen to them. You're my most precious asset in the earth. Oh God, I need you. I want you. I desire you. I love you. And I've never left you. Oh my God. Sebekushata. that we yet have another day. Every day that we are alive and living and breathing and standing above ground, that we have another day, another minute, another hour to say, yes, God, I surrender to you, God. Maybe yesterday was a tough day, but today is a better day. And I'm declaring that tomorrow will be even greater in the name of Jesus. Father, I just thank you, Father, for the peace that surpasses all understanding. When chaos and confusion is erupting all around me, God, where the enemy is accusing me and slandering and coming against my name, even your name had no reputation in the earth. Father, so we thank you that even you humbled yourself in flesh as the Son of Man, even though you had all power in your hands, that you did not have to come down and become a mortal man, but you did just so that we could become immortal, just so that we could see and be with you in heavenly places. God, that you were sinless and blameless and blemishless. Father, that you are a man that is of no sin at all, but you took on the cross the sins of us. You took on the cross our nastiness, our filthiness, for we are as filthy as rags, God, but yet you saw us worthy, God. Oh, you saw us as worthy. You saw every sin we would commit. You saw everything that was coming against us. You saw us in the trenches. You saw us toiling in prayer. You saw us trying to get right with you. You saw us trying, but in our own limitations, you knew that we couldn't do it. So you said, let me be the sacrifice. Let me stand in the gap. Let me become the mediator. Let me be the blameless sacrifice. Let me lay my life on the altar for you. That even if you never choose me, that I would have done it even if it was just for you. Whew. I would have done it if it was just for you, Sierra. I would have done it if it was just for you, Eddie. I would have done it if it was just for you, Lanaya. I would have done it if it was just for you, Amber. If you're the only one, I would have done it just for you. So, Father, we just pour our hearts out, God. God, we thank you. Help us, God. Bless us, God. Keep us in perfect peace with you, God. Oh, God, help us to find you. As you are the one that left the 99 for the one, I thank you that I'm the one, God. My God, Lord, I thank you that I was the one, and you were 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 the one. Father, we thank you. And if there's anybody here today that wants to receive prayer, we're opening up now for prayer at the altar. If you have not yet chosen God as your righteous, royal Heavenly Father and Savior, now is the time. You may leave here today and you may not see tomorrow. Now is the time. Now is the time to say, God, I am going to give you a fresh yes. I'm going to surrender my life to you. I'm going to say yes to you, even though I don't know what's on the other side of my yes. God, I'm looking for a place that I can come to know you better. Father, if this is a place that you feel like, you know what, I need community, sisterhood. Father God, I need a place that I can grow and mature in you. Father, show me, Father, the way. Father, for he said he was a light to our feet, a lamp to our path. Father, I need you to illuminate my path of purpose. Father, show me my identity. Lord, I need help. Just raise your hand or come up to this altar and say, Lord, I need help. I will walk with you to the altar if you need it. Whatever you are in need of, or if you just need a need of prayer. You said, you know what? I was sent here. I was led here. Or I just wanted to come. I just want prayer before I go. We will pray for you before you leave. We are here every Sunday. We will continue to pray for you. Those digital disciples that are watching online, if you now have prayer requests, please release those requests right now and come to our virtual altar online so that one of our intercessors can stand in and pray for you. Glory be to God.
Thank you for listening and allowing us to be a part of your spiritual journey and growth in Christ. Listen to fresh new episodes weekly on Wednesdays to be equipped with the tools, knowledge, and strategies needed to dispossess the enemy, take dominion, and be delivered into the promises of God. No more wilderness wanderings, warriors. Walk in your purpose and discover your identity where you are free to be me, flawed and free. If you were blessed and empowered by today's show, we would appreciate your sown seed of support through donations and charitable giving as led by the Holy Spirit. You can go now to theflawedandfree.com/give. That's theflawedandfree.com/give. Or you can Cash App us at $flawedfree. On Cash App. We are a nonprofit organization with a 501c3 designation. So all gifts, donations, and sown seeds of support that are given are also tax deductible. Thank you for your seed, for we know that it is placed in good soil, and we pray that you agree. So God bless and live your best life in Christ. Love you later. Till next time.